Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. Today, I want to talk about one of the hardest parts about getting a divorce. So there's so many hard things about divorce. There's heartbreak, there's fear, there's shock, there's fear of change, loneliness, fear of failure, anger. I mean, I could go on and on. And I'm so sorry that you're going through it if you're listening to this and you're going through a divorce. But there's something that I think is truly, truly one of the hardest parts, and that is lack of control. Feeling like you don't have control over a lot of things that happen in a divorce. For example, you don't have control of what attorney your ex is going to retain. You don't have control over the judge who's going to be picked for your case. You don't have control of what your ex is going to do, of who he's going to start dating. And probably the biggest thing is you don't have control of what it's going to be like when your kids are at his house or her house. So the idea for this podcast came from an email I got from this woman who was going through a divorce. And she wrote that her ex refused to put a bike helmet on her 8-year-old son when he was riding his bike. It could be a huge hazard, and it is recommended that kids wear helmets. And to this woman, it was really, really important. My question is, why won't the ex put the helmet on the kid? Well, a couple reasons come to mind. One, he doesn't care about the safety of his son. That's definitely not true. I'm sure he does. Two, he's lazy. Maybe. And three, maybe he doesn't believe a helmet is necessary. But there's another thing. Number four of the reasons why he might not be putting this helmet on the kid is because he wants to get back at his ex-wife by sticking it to her, by making her worry. And that's really, really sad. And I hope that isn't the case. So here's the thing. I have no idea why these two people are getting divorced. You know, for all I know, this woman is a terrible person. Maybe she cheated. You know, my point is that I'm not taking sides and saying that the husband is doing anything wrong. What I do know with certainty is that both of these people love their children and don't want to see harm come to these children. But this is just an example of the lack of control that you have while you're getting divorced. And I think it's a big reason why a lot of people don't want to get divorced, because they want to make sure that they can control everything about their kids. And I guess what I'm here to tell you is that you have to, if you're going to go through a divorce, be willing to relinquish some control and say, what's going to happen at my ex's house with my kids is going to happen. Now, if you think your children might be in physical danger or there's some immediate danger, then you can't just relinquish control and let your kids go to their ex. I'm not saying that at all. You have to intervene and make sure that your children are safe at all times. But I'm talking about things like, are they going to brush their teeth while they're there? Are they going to eat healthy? Are they going to get enough sleep at night? And these are things I used to worry about constantly. And it was such a waste looking back. So I want to tell everybody listening, like, don't waste your time worrying. One of the things you have to give up when you're going through a divorce is control. And it's not easy, because we all care about our kids and we want our kids to be really healthy and safe, and that we want them to thrive, especially during a time of a divorce when, you know, they might be upset and acting out. So here's the options. Here's what I want to tell you. So in regards to this woman, she has a few options for her ex not having the bike helmet on her son. One, she could call her attorney. The attorney will draw up a court order to have the kid wear a helmet. By the time it gets to court, summer and fall are probably both over, so it won't matter anymore until next spring. So you have to weigh that out. I'm not saying she should or should not call her attorney, but that's the reality. The other thing she could do is she could try putting it in writing or talking to her ex and asking him in a nice way to have her child wear a helmet. But if he has a lot of resentment and anger, that conversation will probably make him not put the helmet on even more. So it's very difficult. It's such a tough situation, and I feel for people. And maybe the bike helmet example is not such a great example, because a bike helmet is important and it could save a life. It could save a massive head injury. My whole point of this is to tell you that you don't have control over certain things. I feel like what goes on in people's minds when they're getting divorced is they feel like they're not physically there to protect their kids. And this can cause tremendous anxiety and stress and also incredible guilt. But the point I want to make is that if you want to live a happy life, regardless even of if you're getting divorced or after divorce or you're thinking about divorce, you have to relinquish control and wipe the fear and the guilt out of your head. That's the best choice. It's frustrating, it's an uncomfortable feeling, but ask yourself, what are you gaining by being worried and stressed out every time your ex picks up the kids? You know what I'm saying? So again, if you truly think they're in danger, if you think your ex is drinking and driving with your kids, if you think he's being physically abusive, if you think he is driving 100 miles an hour with them in the car, anything that you think has an effect on their physical health or well-being, you have to take control, call your attorney, call the police, whatever you need to do. But anything that you know is not putting your kids in danger, you have to walk away if you want to be happy and less stressed. Does that make sense? Before I move on, because I want to talk more about this, I want to mention two Divorce Girl Smiling partners who I think are absolutely wonderful. The first one is CEL and Associates, which is a team of divorce mediators, a man and a woman, Ellen Feldman and Brian James, and they will get you divorced quickly and without spending a lot of money. I've known them for over 12 years, love them both. They're really dedicated to this profession and they can help you. CEL and Associates. The second partner I want to bring up is divorce attorney Patricia Van Herren. So if you live in the Irvine, California area, or she's licensed in the whole state of California, call Patricia. Patricia is wonderful. She believes in the collaborative process and or mediation. She is a wonderful person. I've really gotten to know her lately and I would trust her in a minute. And both of these partners can be found on divorcegirlsmiling.com. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilosoff, and I'm talking about lack of control and how you need to relinquish it if you want to be happy during and after your divorce. Want the good news about lack of control? Here it is. Things tend to get better with time. What I mean by that is as the divorce becomes more of the distant past and the kids get older, more independent, more self-sufficient, you have more control, or I should say you have less control, because now you don't have control over your kids because they can do whatever they want when they're, you know, out driving around with their friends. You just kind of have to have faith and trust in them and hope that you raise them right and keep drilling that into their heads that, You know, they shouldn't drink and drive. They should call you if they get in a bad situation. They should use a condom if they have sex. I mean, I could go on and on, but you lose control not only of your ex, but of your kids. It's kind of bizarre, but you will live and you'll be really happy and you'll have a lot of faith and trust in your kids, I promise. So, like so many other things in life, you know, we don't have control of what happens when we're not around. We don't have control over anything that happens in the world, really. We can only control how we behave and how we live our life. So the perfect example of this is all this woman can do is make sure that when her son is with her, he wears a bike helmet. I mean, she can go to her lawyer and eventually, you know, the husband will have to have the bike helmet on the kid, but who's even to say that he's going to do it then? All she can do is try. That's all you can do. All you can do is make wise choices, listen to what your kids are saying, and listen to your gut. Okay? Your gut will tell you what the right decision is. So I want to move on to something that I think will help you in relinquishing control. And I want to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon, two alcoholism support organizations. I've been to Al-Anon in my life. And this, by the way, don't shut the podcast off because you're like, this doesn't apply to me, because I believe this applies to everyone. So when you go to an AA meeting or an Al-Anon meeting, they start the meeting off with a daily prayer called the Serenity Prayer. Okay, and I'm going to read you the Serenity Prayer. The reason I'm reading this to you is because I think the Serenity Prayer should be a prayer that every divorced person should say every single day. Okay, and here it is. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Oh, I just love this prayer because basically it's telling you to relinquish control of the things you cannot change and have the courage to change what you know you can and have the wisdom to know the difference. So, reading this prayer, I believe, takes a huge burden off someone to let go of the uncontrollables, to have faith in God if you're a spiritual person, and to be inspired to live the best life you can, to let go of negativity, toxicity, thoughts, what if, or I should say negative thoughts, what ifs, and instead focus on gratitude, what I have that I should be thankful for, and just being happy in the most basic sense. Now, I want to tell you a story. Recently, I actually was a defendant in a trial. I was a defendant in a jury trial, okay? I actually wrote a blog post about this, and I'll post it when I'm ready. It's very personal, but I do think it's important to share this story. So I was in I won't call it a car accident because I didn't hit this person, but he was on a motorcycle, scooter, thought I was going to hit him, swerved, fell off the bike, and then 2 years later, I think a year and a half later, sued me for negligence. So the case took about 5 years to go to trial. Only 3% or less of these cases go to trial. Of course, such bad luck. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I had to go sit in a trial for 5 days. And it was an experience that I feel was life-changing. And here's my point in telling you the story. After the trial was over and the jury went to go make a verdict, My lawyer said, come on, let's go get lunch while we wait for the jury. And while we were there, she said to me, have you ever heard of the Serenity Prayer? And I thought it was really interesting because I believe in this so much. I'm like, yes, absolutely. She said, we've done all of our hard work. We've tried our hardest to get you a non-guilty verdict. Now you have to think of the Serenity Prayer because now it's out of your control. The jury has it. And let's say the Serenity Prayer. And we did. And I thought it was absolutely the perfect thing to do because instead of sitting and worrying about what decision the jury was going to make, I sat and said, okay, I tried my hardest. My lawyer tried her hardest. We know what the truth is. And we have to just now leave it in God's hands, leave it in the jury's hands, and see what happens. And by the way, I was found not guilty, which is very much a relief for me and a sense of validation because I know in my heart that I was not guilty. Before I close out on this and give my final thoughts on the Serenity Prayer and lack of control, I want to mention two more Divorce Girl Smiling partners. The first one is Jason Price, who is the co-founder of Affiliates in Counseling and the Center for Divorce Recovery. It's a large therapy practice with several therapists who all have different niches, many, many of them in divorce and divorce for children and divorce for men and women. I've known Jason for 15 years. I know a lot of the therapists in his practice, and I think they're wonderful, really, really professional, and covered by a lot of insurance companies. The next partner I want to mention is my newest Divorce Girl Smiling partner. Her name is Ruthie Schwartz. You can call her Ruth. I call her Ruthie. She's been my friend for like 10 years. She decided she wants to be affiliated with Divorce Girl Smiling. Ruthie is wonderful for any kind of insurance that you need, life insurance, long-term care insurance, and other financial needs. I cannot say enough about what a wonderful person she is, how smart, how experienced, how positive, and just everything good comes from Ruthie. So all of my Divorce Girl Smiling partners can be found on Divorce Girl Smiling. I hope you'll look them up if you have the need for any of their services. In closing, I truly want to reiterate that I think the Serenity Prayer should be read by women and men as a daily prayer for divorce. Why? Because one of the most difficult aspects of divorce is acceptance. Accepting that we have a lack of control, a lack of control for the other person, the circumstances, the past, what's going to happen in the future. We only have control of what we do. If you think about all the men and women who were left by their spouses for another person, or you think about men and women who got divorced because of addiction issues, men and women who got divorced because of abuse, anything. These are things that we can't control. There are certain people, and we all know who they are, that hang on to the resentment, anger, and bitterness, and they're still talking about their divorce in every conversation a decade later. You know who I'm talking about. So what I want to say to my listeners is please don't become that person. Say the Serenity Prayer. Realize you have no control over certain things. And you just kick ass to be the best person you possibly can, the best mom, the best dad, the best sister, brother, the best spouse for your next relationship, the best worker at your job, the best volunteer, and the best person to have fun in life. So I hope that helps everybody. And remember that acceptance is the key in moving on and finding true happiness from within. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilosoff. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you want to learn more, you can go to my website, divorcedgirlsmiling.com, and we'll talk to you real soon.